Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, he is. We're going to get to Doug in just a moment. But as always, we'd like to begin by giving you the opportunity to take home a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. And if you want to talk to Doug, I highly urge you to give us a call. We already have a caller in the loop, Steve from Philadelphia, who wants to talk about repotting holly. We'll get to him in just a moment. But again, that number is 866-391-1020. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And I've been doing this show long enough to know that there are some benefits to that blanket of snow when it comes to your garden. Is that not right? Good morning, Doug Oster.
Good morning, Rob. I have a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
What is the worst snow event you have seen in your life? And then I'll tell you mine.
March 1992.
Oh, was that Snowmageddon?
Yes.
Mine was 1978. 78 in Cleveland, they closed the schools for a week, and they know how to move snow in Cleveland. So that's the one I remember. But Snowmageddon was pretty bad, too.
It literally took 4 hours for me to get from downtown Pittsburgh back to Beaver County. So I remember it quite well. And I had to make a quick turnaround to come back here the next day. And it was also, you know, kind of a family member's birthday. So it was, that's one that will always stand out. And when you get a snow that's significant, especially when you're looking for the crocuses to pop up and the robins to come home, it's even stranger. But let's face it, this is January. And listen, last year this would have been another day because we had over 25 inches of snow by this time. And this year we've only had a couple of inches. So pretty significant stuff headed our way.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, let me get through some of this stuff here, but I'd like to get to Steve before we get to our break, so I'll run through here as quick as I can. Yeah, speaking of snow, Mrs. Know-It-All will be on a little later to tell us what we should be doing in the garden if we do get 12 inches of snow. We'll see what happens. I have a great guest today, Master Gardener Bill Goff. We'll talk about something called winter sowing, which is a pretty cool way to start seeds outdoors without much special equipment at all. Well, no special equipment, but some equipment. Go to DougOster.com. I've got my complete story about garden trends from my trip to the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show in Baltimore. Lots of interesting things there, what people are thinking about what's going to happen in this next season. Boy, shipping is killing anybody that's moving plants, moving seeds. It's crazy. Gardening is going to be bigger than ever, it looks like, this season, again, for a third season. And just a reminder to be flexible when thinking about your plants. Last week, my friend Marianne Hollinger called in and talking about vining figs, climbing figs. And I did a little bit of research, and that is not actually a fig. Ficus pumila, I hope I'm saying that right, P-U-M-I-L-A, is a cultivar for the south. It's 8, 9, or 10 zone, meaning, yeah, way down south. It does make a fruit, but it's not a fig. And even though it's edible, it's barely edible from what I've read. Rob, could we talk to Steve real quick?
Yes, we can. Let's say hi to Steve in the city of brotherly love. Well, they're getting ready for that big game against Tampa Bay today. Steve, how are you? Good morning.
Pretty good. It's Pittsburgh weather now. You sit around waiting for the snow to warm you up.
Steve threatened me yesterday that he was going to call, so I wanted to get to him before our guest.
Sure.
How are you, Steve?
Good. I'm almost embarrassed to ask this question, but I've got a very small variegated holly bush that was left over from a window box planting, and I didn't. I wanted to pot it because it's you know, it's cute. Anyway, I realized it was still outside the other day. I not mulched or anything like that, and I was thinking, should I just leave it the way it is? I covered it with dry leaves, or I was thinking of waiting to a warm day and just. And repotting it now, what would be a better idea to do to protect it for the rest of the winter?
In my opinion, would be leave it where it's at. Leave your mulch on there, if possible. Shredded leaves wouldn't mat down quite as bad, but anything like that will be fine. Is the pot movable, or is it just it's in its spot now? This is where it's going to stay until we move it permanently later in the year.
Well, it's in a protected area, so I.
Okay, well that's perfect. Leave it there. Leave some mulch on there, and then you'll be good to go. You did the right thing. You're second guessing yourself, Steve.
I do that every day.
Well, I sure appreciate the call, Steve. And I go way back. Steve has a pretty extensive garden background. You want to tell him what you used to do before you retired?
Sure, I. Did a lot of work with the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, and particularly the flower show. And I got to tell you, since retiring, I'm still a guide there. So if you make it down to the show this summer, which we're going to have it in June, we'll give you an early morning tour.
I am so. I mean, I know it's not ideal for you guys to have it in the summer, but it's ideal for me. That I can finally see the show again now, because normally the Philadelphia Flower Show is right at the same time we have our Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show here. So I'm actually thinking about putting a bus trip together and coming to see the show. And I would love to hook up with you and say hi, and maybe myself and 51 of my closest friends can have that morning tour with you.
Look, we'll keep in touch, and if you guys come down, I promise you'll get the best guide in Philadelphia.
I know that for sure. All right, Steve, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
All right, we got a great guest coming up in a couple of minutes, huh, Doug?
Oh yeah, Matt. Bill Goff is a master gardener, and he's talking about this thing called winter sowing, and it's a way to start seeds outdoors. Without any lighting, without special equipment. He's got some good ideas for us. If I have just a minute, Rob, I just want to talk about a visit down to Richmond, Virginia that I did. I was actually doing the show last week from Richmond, but there is a garden there that I've fallen in love with. And if you're going down that way or going through Richmond, check out Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden. It is a jewel. And even last week, you know, after they had temperatures in the 20s, there was still so much to see and so many things that we can't grow. They're just a far enough down south that they can grow camellias without any problem. And even after that harsh, harsh cold weather for them down there, the camellias were still doing their thing. I posted a whole bunch of pictures at Facebook, and my son lives in Richmond, and we just had the best time, and what was most exciting to me was that my son was with me through the garden, and he was noting the different conifers that he thought would work good in his landscape, and I was just beaming inside because I'm like, he's thinking gardening. All right, Robert, ready for our break, and then we can get a little extra time for our guest.
All right, we can do that. We'll take a break in just a couple of moments. Do want to remind you, though, enrollment is open for the 2021-2022 school year at Agora Cyber Charter School. Agora is an online public school serving students in grades K through 12. Learn more on Pittsburgh Works with Me and the folks from Agora Cyber Charter School. That's coming up this Wednesday, January 19th at 7 p.m. right here on KDKA Radio. Bill Goff and Doug Oster continue on The Organic Gardener in just a couple of moments at Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Ah, yes, he is. And before we get to Doug and his special guest, Bill Goff, Monday on the KDK Morning News, Larry and Kevin are giving you the chance to win $1,000 with the $1,000 Minute. It debuts Monday, 6:50. Answer 10 questions in a row correctly in 60 seconds, and you win the $1,000 Minute. KDK Morning Show, Monday morning at 6:50 on 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK. Doug, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Well, I'm very happy to welcome Penn State Master Gardener Bill Goff to the show. We're going to talk about winter sowing, and I got an email from one of Bill's friends, oh, geez, weeks ago, asking me if I knew anything about winter sowing, and I said, well, I've read a little bit about it, but then things progressed, and she said, got to turn you on to Bill Goff because that's what he does. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you this morning? Thanks for getting up so early.
I'm fine, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to hear all about this, and first off, what is winter sowing? How are you starting your seeds?
Right. Well, winter sowing is, this is something I've done for maybe the last 10 years. Winter sowing is, it's a very easy thing to do. You get a clean milk jug. I use a gallon size milk jug and make sure it's clean, very clean, and, you know, get all of the milk residue out of there with soap and water. And then I use white, but I've also used yellow in a pinch, but white seems to work the best for me. And place three or four small nail holes on the bottom for drainage. That's really important. And then cut a three-sided flap on the side, large enough to get your hand in. And then I put moistened seed starting medium through the side flap, about 3 inches deep. You oftentimes use a Pro Mix that I buy at the garden centers. You can also get a Miracle-Gro potting soil that works also. And for those of you who have never done it, it takes a bit to water to moisten the seed starting medium. I pour some into a bucket and then add gradually warm water and get it all mixed up by hand until you can form a ball. You don't want it to be runny, but you want it to be almost like a maybe a brownie mixture, sort of thick. And then I put the seeds in. I check on the seed packet to see how deeply one is supposed to plant each particular type of seed. And I put them in there, and then I leave the lid off. That's the important thing. You don't leave the lid on. And you put them outside. I have them lined in my driveway, and not exactly a fashion statement for the neighborhood, but still it works. And snow and rain will enter, and that's okay. And freezing temps are okay, too. But some things, it's important to check and make sure that the medium remains moist. If we haven't had rain or snow for a while, that will dry out, and that's not good. You want to have that remain moist. And you keep an eye out for germination. And once the plants have germinated, then if we have a freezing temperature at night, then you want to be sure to bring the milk jugs in. I bring them into our garage for protection. And for the night, and then put them out again the next day. And as plants grow, and they will grow, you need to cut off the plastic around the top to allow the plants to grow up through there. And so that's about it. It's a very simple method, wonderful time to – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just was wondering, what is the earliest that you can do that? Or when do you start your main crop? And then I want to ask you a couple things about what you're growing in there.
Yeah, sure. I put mine out the beginning of March. Some people do it earlier. Some seeds need a stratification period. That's a chilling temperatures for the seeds to germinate. And I usually have a planting, include a planting of the common milkweed. That needs a period of germination, stratification. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because when I did post some of your pictures that you sent me on Facebook, that was one of the first things that came up. That stratification is a cold treatment for seeds, and milkweed, I had two comments where people said that is the best way to germinate milkweed. So if you are trying to grow milkweed for the Monarchs, this is a great way to do it. And, Bill, I want to talk a little bit about being a Penn State Master Gardener, because being
a Penn State Master Gardener,
I couldn't be more supportive for what they do, because the great thing is that guys like you are willing to share your information. So what was it that made you want to become a Penn State Master Gardener?
Well, this is something I've always wanted to do. I've always been interested in gardening, Doug. And when I retired from my church job, I was organist and director of music at Northmont Presbyterian Church. This was my goal. I wanted to take the courses and to become a master gardener, something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. I've gardened for a long time, and it's something I truly enjoy doing. And if anybody's interested in doing it, I heartily recommend it, because it's a very worthwhile thing to do.
It is a just complete wonderful horticulture education. And as I said, Penn State Master Gardeners, part of what they do is sharing. Bill, real quick, tell me some of the things that you love to start from seed. We've got about a minute.
Yeah, sure. I do marigolds. I do cosmos. I do I've done some pumpkin. I've done some of the other annuals, zinnias. And if you're interested in trying a different type, a different cultivar, this is the best way to do it. And this is the best time to do it, Doug, because we're thinking about the garden. And as most gardeners know, the best gardens are planned in the around the hearth in the month of January.
You got that right, Bill. Thank you so much.
And surrounded by seed catalogs and plant catalogs. So.
Thank you so much for getting up early.
My pleasure.
And schooling us on winter sowing. All right, Rob, we ready?
Yeah, we are ready. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. We got that Janoski's gift certificate to give away. Mrs. Know-It-All still is just minutes away. And next hour, it's Coon's Cooking Hour. So lots to still come your way, including Andrew Lindbergh with the latest news at 7:30. It is Rob Pratt Sunday, Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Yes, he is, Mrs. Know-It-All, within 10 minutes from now. But your phone calls are welcome. So get on the line and give us a call, 866-391-1020. 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020 wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. You know, another mutual friend, Andy Amrine and Doug, have been working on a project, and it was a big day for some bulb planting, was it not, Doug?
Yeah, you know, Andy is working on the South Park Theater. I mean, we're talking like major projects with, like, I don't know, new concrete and we're working on the building and everything, and he asked me to do a little bit on the garden, and we had all these, it was awful late to be planting bulbs, but thank goodness the ground wasn't frozen, but the project came up late to me. And yeah, we had these, you know, lots of great volunteers came out to help us and plant bulbs. It was just a wonderful day. If you do have a garden question before we get to Mrs. Know-It-All, give us a call, 866-391-1020. But I want to talk real quick about another easy project for you. If you're looking for something to do garden-wise, and I've talked about it maybe a month ago, it's growing microgreens. And it's just, again, it's you don't need any special equipment, special lighting. All you need is just some seed starting mix. And just like Bill explained, mix it up with some water, get it to the right consistency. And for me, that means when, like he said, when you ball it up in your fist, it sticks together, but it does not drip. And that is just the perfect consistency for seed starting. And so we put that into any kind of container, and then you choose seeds that are great for sprouting. They're only sprouting, and then we are trimming them off and using them in salads or sandwiches or whatever it might be. I always say for microgreens, my favorite thing to use is radishes, radish seeds. But you can do radishes, beans, sunflowers, any leafy greens, lettuce, the herbs like basil, anything from the coal crop family, which means cabbage and kale and collards. And all it is just a little sprout that will probably grow maybe an inch or two tall. And then you trim them down. I've got two of those little windowsill containers where I go back and forth with them. So I'll put some seeds in, they'll sprout, then I'll put some more seeds in, and when I'm harvesting one, the other one's sprouting, we go back and forth. But, you know, it just needs a windowsill. They're only growing for maybe a week, so that you don't need special lighting. Sometimes they get, you know, kind of tall and leggy, but like every part of the radish seedling is edible from the root all the way up to the foliage at top, where when they get, you know, when you have them out in the garden, yes, that foliage is technically edible, but it gets, you know, it just gets tough, and you want the root. But in these, when they're small like this, as what we call microgreens, they're highly nutritious, they're very tender, and if you want a little taste of the garden under 12 inches of snow, this is a great way to do it. And like I said, I love to throw them on sandwiches, in salads. It's just instant flavor. I do basil all the time too. That's one of my favorites. It just gives you that wonderful, wonderful fresh flavor. And that's why we garden, is to get just the freshest stuff we can. And microgreens are expensive at the store. And so it's just a fun, great, easy to do project on your windowsill. And great for kids, too. Any callers, Rob, or do you want me to talk about compost?
Yeah, talk compost, winter pruning, whatever you'd like. We got a couple of minutes here. And by the way, folks, if you want to join us, 866-391-1020.
So compost and composting is my thing. I've been doing it for forever, since the beginning of time. And the hardest part about starting a compost operation is informing everybody in the family that now what we used to throw everything in the trash, we're doing what's called splitting the waste stream. And so some stuff is going into another container, which goes out into the compost pile, and then some stuff goes into the trash. And so anything that once was living goes into that compost pile. The things from the kitchen that we don't want to put in there are oils, dairy, and meats, because they can attract rodents. I have friends that live way out in the country. They'll compost anything that was living, and they'll put a thick layer of mulch on it every time. They'll build these layers. I kind of do the same thing, only I do try to avoid anything oily or creamy dairy. You know, I throw eggshells in. But every time that I'm throwing something into this, and mine is built out of shipping pallets. So I've got three bins. Square bins, probably 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot, maybe a little bit bigger, that I just throw that fresh material in, and I just let it fill up. It takes a year to fill up one of those bins. And every time I'm throwing something from the kitchen in, and when I also throw anything from the garden that isn't diseased in there, I'm putting a layer of shredded leaves in there. And I just have shredded leaves next to the compost pile. And so it makes a layer. And you know, there is a specific ratio of the green, which is the stuff coming out of the kitchen or garden, and the brown, which is, you know, could be newspaper, could be straw, could be shredded leaves. But I don't really worry about it. You can look online and see if you want to make it exactly right. I mean, it makes the best compost, but you know, we have busy lives, so I'm throwing the stuff from the kitchen in there. So shredded leaves on top, and the compost turns out fine. And the compost that you make at home, it's just phenomenal. You'll never make enough because you use it everywhere. It feeds the plants. I always say the part of organic gardening that is the most important is that soil building. And so anytime I'm planting anything, I'm adding compost to the planting hole. And I'm not just using the compost that I make myself. I use bagged compost that's organic. I use, I have a pickup truck. I'll go get it. If you really needed it, if you're building a new garden, if you need a lot of compost, they'll deliver it, which works too. And so the thing about composting is it is this wonderful way to recycle. And, you know, when we recycle our bottles and our cans and our newspapers, we're doing that because we think it's a good thing to do. But this, we're getting the direct benefit. By this, anything living that we throw into that compost pile that in a year turns into compost, and you can get it quicker, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But anything that you throw in there and a year later it becomes compost, you've cut by 50% what you're sending out to the landfill, but you're getting this direct benefit of what we always refer to as black gold. But if you get it moving, You know, I've got a couple rotating composting bins that I use, and even if you have a system with like mine where it's just in a bin, if you can get in there with a fork and turn it over, you know, every time you turn it over, it decomposes a little bit faster, sometimes 50% faster, depending on the temperatures. You're just getting air in there. And so there's rotating bins that work great where you can get compost in about 45 to 90 days, you know, instead of waiting the year. I'm lazy, and so I just, you know, I've been filling these bins up forever, and so there's always compost out there. You know, it takes a while when you get started. But give it a thought, because it is just a wonderful way to recycle, and it is a great way to get the basis of every organic garden is improving the soil. And because when those plants have everything they need, they're just going to grow like crazy, and they're going to outgrow most pests and diseases. We'll always have our problems in the garden, you know, weather, insects, whatever it is. But when they're growing strong, they do a better job at fighting it off.
All right, listen, let's get a break on the other side. Mrs. Know-It-All is going to join Doug. And we got one more look at sports. Don't forget, after the news at 8, it's Joe and Frank Dantizzi. Everything that is cheese, recipes on your tacos, your chili and cheese fries, and yes, not to mention some macaroni and cheese, and a grilled cheese to warm you up on a cold, wintry day. That's all still to come today on KDKA. Rob Pratt Sunday. Good morning, everyone. And she's back by popular demand. Is that not correct, Mr. Oster?
That's right. Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturist Denise Schreiber. And Denise, before we start talking about our plants, what do you consider the worst snow event that you ever went through?
There were two. The blizzard of 77, 78, and that was actually when the temperatures got down below zero. Like, at one point it was like 40 below with the wind chill. And the other was the blizzard of 93. I was on a bus trip and got home that night right before it hit, and I woke up the next morning, and I heard this strange noise, and I thought, oh, somebody's got a chainsaw. And I looked out the door, and my neighbor was riding up and down the street on a snowmobile.
So with the snow coming, who knows if it's going to be 2 inches or 12 inches, what should we be thinking garden-wise?
Well, we have to protect some of our plants, especially our trees. So as the snow falls, I know nobody really wants to go out and play in this stuff except little kids. Go out and try and gently knock off any snow that's laying on the branches so the branches don't break. They're predicting a heavy wet snow, and that's always really bad for plants. So you want to get out there and just gently knock it off. You might have to do it two or three times. If for some reason you can't get out there, just go out in the morning or the afternoon, whenever it stops, and just start knocking it off gently. You know, make sure that you're dressed warmly and have good footing. You know, take it easy there. For plants that are like our shrubs, especially if they're along the road, what you want to do, if you haven't done it already, is put a barrier up to protect them from road salt. If not, go out and at least wrap them individually with burlap. And if worse comes to worse, take some bungee cords. I own stock in them, I swear to God. And just tie them up so they don't split open. Globe arborvitae are notorious for splitting open in heavy, wet snow. And that's something you can do. And also, since everybody's going to be out there salting, that's really not good for our plants. So you want to try and make sure that the salt doesn't go into our lawns, our flower beds, and, you know, use something else. Make sure that the your perennials and everything are actually covered. And people don't think about it. They said, oh, snow, this is bad. But actually, snow acts as an insulator for those tender perennials and everything, and you're good to go. You know, just let it melt naturally. Try not to use your, if you have a snow blower, try not to blow it onto your plants. That's the one thing you don't want to do, because that'll create too much weight on them and can actually damage them.
Don't you see that all the time?
Oh, it makes me crazy. Just makes me crazy.
You're looking at a poor shrub.
I'm sorry?
Don't you see that all the time where someone's blowing
snow
right onto a poor little shrub?
And, you know, in a way, Not that I'm a big fan of snow, but it's actually good for our plants. It does contribute to the water table, to, you know, the trees. It will melt and actually water the trees. Someday it will melt, let's put it that way. So that, in a way, it's a good thing. But you want to protect your plants. And what you can do in the fall after everything's done is start wrapping those plants up so when we have a snow event like this, and I realize we haven't had this in several years, your plants are already protected and you don't have to go out there today and do it because it's cold.
Yeah, well, it is cold out there. Have you started your planning for next year yet?
I haven't started planting, but I am planning. And I just got a couple more seed catalogs, so I'm going to kind of look at them a little bit. And I'm going to look at some of my canning recipes on what I need so I can plan that for the garden as well. You know, because, you know, I'm a canner. I've got to have...
Oh, I know. I know. I hope we get to a point where you can do another canning class because so many people could benefit from that. And yeah. I know that you're really into it. And since it wasn't part of my, you know, learning to garden, I just don't know what I'm doing. So it's always great to see an expert do it. All right, Mrs. Know-It-All. You're not going out in the snow, are you?
Well, I'm not going out in the snow, but I do have to go out today. We had gone out last night to a friend's house for dinner, and my husband left his phone there. So I had actually Martha Swiss. I have to drive over to her house today. It's about a 45-minute drive for me. I got to go over there and get his phone because he needs it for work. So
all
that's
right.
The only thing
get
I'm
going.
Doing.
Get going before the snow flies, and thanks again for all the information. So I'm answering questions after the show, as always, at DougOster.com if you didn't get through or were too shy. Lots of gardening information there. And remember, organic garden, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, thanks. And news coming up next with Andrew Lindbergh. Then it's the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.